It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC. When their child Ryland was 5 years old, Hillary and Jeff Whittington wrote their friends and family a letter. The letter was to inform their loved ones that Ryland, born a girl, would be transitioning to the gender their child identified with. Ryland insisted he was a boy. The decision to write that letter and to let their child live as a boy instead of a girl was not taken lightly by the Whittingtons. Like most parents, they wanted the best for their child, even if what was best was a path that many people don't understand. The Whittington story has been picked up by CNN, and their YouTube diary video has been viewed by millions. Hillary Whittington joins us now to talk about her family and her son, Ryland. Hillary, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So when your child Ryland was pretty little, at about the year mark, you noticed that something was going on and Ryland wasn't responding to you. Something was wrong. What did it turn out was happening?
We found out Ryland was profoundly deaf around the age a year old, 13 months.
Was Ryland quite a bit behind with talking and his development due to that deafness?
He was. I did start using sign language with him. So he had roughly 250 signs by the time he gained access to any sound. But he was definitely delayed in his speech. And he was behind in hearing and speech for sure.
When Ryland started to talk, when did he start to say, "I'm a boy"?
My husband says it's more around 3 years of age that he was developing that full sentence, but around 2.5 to 3 years old, when he really got an idea of language, those were some of his first words.
So maybe a little bit later than most kids.
Yep, a little bit later for sure.
So what was your reaction at this assertion?
As soon as Ryland said those words, at first we thought it was kind of cute and funny, maybe that Ryland was just confused. And we kind of laughed it off initially, but, you know, over time, it just got more and more apparent that something else was going on.
So do you think that Ryland's auditory impairment had anything to do with the confidence of those assertions and his understanding of his gender? Maybe because he spent a bit more time in his own head without vocalizing.
No, I don't think so. You know, you'll find many transgender kids have, you know, they'll be transgender and something else, but I do not think that his hearing delay made him transgender or caused gender confusion at all. I think, if anything, being deaf was a benefit just because he had a better understanding of what he was feeling.
And he was able to assert that because he finally had the words to say things that maybe wouldn't have necessarily been, I guess, a dialogue between the two of you up to that point.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure if Ryland didn't ever acquire sound, he still would have told me in sign language that he was a boy. But yeah, it would have been more complicated for me to fully understand what he was trying to say if we were talking in sign language.
So when you have a three-year-old who keeps insisting he's a boy, although born biologically female, you had to be a little bit spooked about, as any parent might be, just because you've gone through the hearing impairment, that had to be something that was a trying time. Were you at first worried that there was some other kind of biological development problem with Ryland?
I mean, absolutely. We wanted to make sure we had, blood work done. There's some kids that are born intersex where you don't even know that they have different parts internally. So we had those tests done, but yeah, I definitely wanted to look deeper and see what was going on because there was something definitely not going well with Ryland. He was showing signs of distress.
Was it immediately that you went to doctors with this, or did you just try to say maybe this is some sort of phase and get into those sort of fights of trying to dress Ryland in more feminine, girly clothes and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I actually remember mentioning something to our pediatrician, our previous pediatrician, I should say, about Ryland's cross-dressing behaviors and tomboy behavior. And she just kind of said, no big deal, this is normal, it's a phase. She didn't seem concerned at all. And I knew that, you know, I couldn't really explain how much was really going on at home. I was living it, and it's like I couldn't, the doctor didn't know how deep the pain really was with Ryland, and I don't think she knew much about what, you know, transgender children either.
When you talk about his pain, he was so insistent, even at age four, that he was talking about the kind of things and the kind of openness that maybe you hear transgender teens or even adults talk about. What were some of the more distressing things that he said?
Well, for me, the turning point came for me one evening when my husband was working at the fire station. That day he found the return address labels that I'd made for our Christmas cards. And in it, on the return address label, his character had long blonde hair and a cowboy hat. And I thought that that was a great way to depict Ryland, because Ryland loved to be a cowboy in play. Ryland got very upset when he saw the picture, and he said, "Mom, how could you make me look like that? How could you do that to me?" And I said, "What do you mean? What makes you look like what?" And he said, "You made me look like a girl." And I just went, I didn't really know what to say. Later on that evening in bed, he said to me, "Mom, when the family dies, I'll cut my hair so I can be a boy." So he didn't want to disappoint us while we were still living by cutting his hair and becoming a boy. The next morning after that, he woke up and said, "Mom, why did God make me this way?" So it was sort of a progression for me with the things that were happening. I mean, we were allowing him to play with boy toys and dress up, but that wasn't enough for him. He wanted to be seen as a boy in all aspects.
We're talking with Hillary Whittington. She has written about her family in the book Raising Ryland, Our Story of Parenting a Transgender Child with No Strings Attached. So Hillary, when did you first start to get feedback from the medical community, whether it be from medical doctors or psychologists, that gave you any kind of clue as to the fact that Ryland wasn't maybe the only kid going through this sort of thing?
I actually did my own research. At the time, there weren't very many professionals that I could find that knew anything about this. In fact, I was scolded by a few therapists trying to make an appointment for Ryland. But anyhow, what I think for me changed my course and sort of opened my eyes was when we sent an email to a support group online, and the mom called me back. She ran this support group in Orange County, and it was the first mom I had ever spoken with who I could relate to. But her story was very, very hard for me to hear, because her 7-year-old child was upset with her. Her child is now a little girl, was born in the boy's body. But at the time, the little girl wanted to wear a costume on Halloween. It was a princess dress, and her mom said no. And the child ran out in front of oncoming traffic at 7 years old. And I think for me, that was kind of a big moment that I knew I had to pay attention and really just dig deeper into what was going on with Ryland.
Once you decided and found more information about this, was it hard to connect with people that had research and had a background where they can give you more information?
Absolutely.
When you did start to connect with doctors, what did they say? What did they say about what was happening with Ryland, maybe even biologically?
Well, the psychologist that we still see, she specializes in gender, and she was kind of one of the first people that really opened our eyes and told us that, you know, we weren't doing anything wrong, that there were many other children out there like Ryland. And thank goodness, you know, we have a pediatrician now who has a very open mind and knew that that children like this exist. Granted, Ryland was her first transgender patient. But, you know, this was 3 years ago when we came out. So at the time, there really wasn't a ton out there on this subject matter. And many doctors knew very little about this and still do know very little about this group of people. But for us, you know, it was finding other families that were going through this that really just helped us understand that this wasn't anything that we could stop or fix, you know, that this was here to stay.
When you made the decision to have Ryland transition and to treat him as a boy, how do you even begin to approach this? Do you make a sudden announcement to Ryland's grandparents or the rest of the family? Did you make the transition gradual? How did you decide to tackle this?
You know, it's funny that there's nothing written about how to do this, and it was really, really scary. The grandparents had already seen, and a lot of friends had already seen Ryland's behavior. You know, at the time, Ryland was really adamant about wearing boys' clothes and was very disappointed by receiving girl gifts. So really, the family saw it all kind of happening. But when I actually told them, you know, what I had found and what transgender really meant, it was a big shock for all of them. I think everybody kind of wanted to do their own research and just make sure that I wasn't jumping the gun or, you know, just wanted to make sure that this is really what we should be doing. But once they did their own research, everybody was very supportive and helped us start changing pronouns and really just to see Ryland as a boy.
How did you deal with the tendency of family members to maybe second guess you, to second guess your parenting?
It hurt. You know, I can still think back on conversations where, you know, family members made comments that maybe Ryland, you know, was just a tomboy. But at the time, you know, again, this wasn't really a talked about subject, and none of them knew either that this was a possibility, you know, that a child could be a transgender at this age. Yeah, so.
It's one thing to deal with talking to your family. We mentioned earlier that you wrote this letter. It's another thing to prepare Ryland and the family to deal with the rest of the world. And when you decided to go through the transition and be open about this, Ryland was about, if I understand right, he was about to enter kindergarten.
Correct.
He was in preschool, and so you transitioned, and it wasn't between grades, really. But you decided that you needed to approach his teachers. How did you do that?
Yeah, so Ryland at the time was in a transitional kindergarten program, which is kind of like a preschool. And we scheduled a meeting with the principal and the teacher and the school psychologist and told them exactly what we had learned at our gender therapist appointment and that we were kind of just waiting for Ryland to guide us. We were told by our gender therapist that if we waited to transition Ryland until the school year was over, it could be more harm than good for him, and that we should transition him right away because of his levels of anxiety being seen as a girl. So when we met with them, they were really great. I'm sure it was the first time they had ever heard of anything like this, but they were very open-minded and they helped us take down the signs, you know, the boys' bathroom and the girls' bathroom at the time was in the classroom, and they just covered those signs so it didn't make it awkward for Ryland when he started to use the boys' bathroom. But they were actually very, very great about it, surprisingly.
Was it around this time that you made the YouTube video?
It was actually a little bit later. I was using the letter to come out to people when we first transitioned. And then I had tried to schedule a training at Ryland's new school that he would be attending for kindergarten through his elementary school years. And the training was actually canceled last minute. So I made an appointment and I went down to the superintendent's office and I asked him why they canceled the training. I was pretty upset about it because I felt it was very necessary. And he was very responsive, but he asked that we do the training instead of having a company come in and do the training. He thought that the teachers would respond better to us presenting as opposed to just a random person. So that's why I made the YouTube video. It was to help the teachers really just get a glimpse into our world so that they could help Ryland and protect Ryland for the future.
Well, I imagine with the YouTube video and just with word in general, that there had to be just a gossip factor amongst the school.
Yep.
And did you hear things from other parents?
Yeah, I mean, and I continue to hear things. There are still a lot of people in this world that really don't understand this. And yeah, people definitely talk about it and I hear things, and of course it hurts, but I just know that the more people research and educate themselves, the more that they'll understand that we're doing what's right for Ryland.
So you mentioned earlier your husband was a firefighter. He changed careers. Did that have anything to do with how his colleagues reacted to Ryland's transition?
It did. Unfortunately, it was just really hard for him. You know, being a firefighter, you're there 24/7. It's like an extended family. And we went from visiting the fire station all the time when Ryland was little to not really being able to go there because Jeff would have to explain to all of his coworkers why his tomboy daughter was now looking like his son. And it was hard on him. I think he just knew that it wouldn't be well received. And actually, since then, a lot of firefighters have come out in support of our family. I think he regrets not being more open about it at the time. But yeah, it was very, very hard on him emotionally when we were going through this, not having anyone he could talk to at his extended family, the fire department.
So we mentioned that a lot of this process started when Ryland started to speak, and maybe around the age 3 or 4, you transitioned or began the transition openly when he was starting kindergarten. So he's around 7 or 8 now. Is that right?
No, he's 8 years old now.
8 years old now. Is he asking any questions about gender or biology that he didn't when he first started to assert his gender?
Not really. Actually, I take that back. He did recently ask me, as we were getting ready to leave the house, how babies were made. And I know it's going to be a very complicated discussion with him, and I know that I will have to address it here soon, but you know, he knows that his body isn't like all other boys. He's aware of it, and I think he's at peace with it because, you know, no one really sees him with his clothes off. So I'm just hoping that he can keep that peace about his body and just know that, you know, no one needs to see that.
Well, and we mentioned earlier that he was born with a hearing impairment and he has cochlear implants. So maybe his experience with dealing with that, because now with his short hair, those implants are maybe even more visible than when he had long hair. Do you talk?
He's used to being stared at. I can tell you that. People definitely stare at him more often than not, and he's gotten used to it.
So any parent has their work cut out for them during the preteen years, that which you get to look forward to.
Can we just skip those years?
I think a lot of parents would like to. But in particular, you have a unique situation, or at least an uncommon situation, to deal with. And have you thought about how both you and Ryland will approach the time when he hits puberty?
Absolutely. I don't know if you're aware of them, but there's a drug called a hormone blocker, and it was actually invented for precocious puberty, early onset puberty. And so what we'll do is any sign of puberty coming, we'll administer hormone blockers, which is completely harmless and reversible. All it does is just halt any puberty from progressing. So that actually will buy us time. So if Ryland is still presenting the same exact way when he's 14 years old, then I think he's pretty much set in his identity. And at that time, we can make a decision as a team as to whether we administer cross hormones, which is not reversible and can be harmful.
You mentioned if he's still presenting the same way. Do you think that it's possible that he might not? Or are you open to that possibility?
I don't. We're open to that possibility. I mean, if Ryland knows that if he came to us one day and said, I really made a mistake, I feel like a girl, then really it would be a very easy fix. All we would do is change pronouns again, back to she, and grow his hair out. And it would be very simple, to be honest with you. I personally do not think that would happen, but I will tell you that I do know other families that are going through that very thing, where their child does not identify as female or male, and so they walk a very hard journey trying to support their child.
Do you think the fact that you've made his story and your family's story part of a conversation that has been part of a national conversation is going to make things easier for him in the long run?
That is my biggest hope. I'm hoping that by coming out and sharing our story, we can break down some of the stereotypes that are out there about transgender people. Most transgender adults that I've spoken to have relayed to me that they felt the same way Ryland did at a very, very young age. So, yeah, I'm hoping that by sharing our story, when Ryland gets to high school, this will be a non-issue, and he won't have to worry about not being able to travel to certain parts of the world and getting killed. I'll be honest with you, there's just a lot of hatred out there, and it worries me. I hope that changes.
Hillary Whittington has written about her story, her family, her son Ryland, and more in the book called Raising Ryland, Our Story of Parenting a Transgender Child with No Strings Attached, and she's been joining us here to talk about that. Hillary, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC.